Welcome, everyone, to our weekly roundtable podcast / videocast. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, nice to see you on camera there. It's myself, Pastor Dave, Pastor Adrian, Pastor Riley, and Jody Conti with us today for our discussion. And we'll be reflecting on this past week's sermon on the topic of kindness, love expressed in kindness. So if you haven't listened to that, maybe listen to that first and then come on back and join us for this. So this is just a time for us to kind of think through some of the talking points of the sermon, reflect on them. It's not just about what I have to say, but what everyone is kind of thinking on the topic. So just to kind of start, when you guys think of kindness, maybe before this Sunday, when you think of the idea of kindness, what do you think about?
There's an Andrew Peterson song that one of the lines is, "Be kind to yourself." And if anyone knows the Enneagram, I'm a type 1 perfectionist, and I have to say that to myself over and over again, because otherwise I'm really hard on myself.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of kindness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think of just like your say please, say right. Thank you, open the door,
yeah.
Don't chew with your mouth open.
Mm-hmm. And like manners.
Kind of like manners. You know, right. Just like show yourself in a good way, in a kind of, so that others aren't, you know,
right.
Disgusted by if you're chewing your mouth open. So
right.
It's kind of like kindness almost, but more like mannersy.
Right, right.
Is that something you're not supposed to do?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, just when someone does something nice for you.
Right.
Like when, you know, yeah, I think of when my husband cleans the kitchen for me or, you know, it's kindness.
And yeah. Yeah. And those are all kind of actions. And one of the things I kind of dug into in the sermon was there's kind of a difference between just like the outward actions of kindness and true kindness being something of the heart, right? Kindness being something that's spirit driven, that comes from the heart. So you can have all these negative attitudes underneath and still act kind. You can kind of restrain yourself and act kind. And I called it counterfeit kindness. Do you see that? Maybe let's not necessarily judge others, but do you see that in yourself? Like, have you struggled with counterfeit kindness where it's just on the outside?
Maybe.
Sometimes. Yeah, just the motive's wrong.
Yeah.
When you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Self-seeking more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's like sometimes as a leader, you get someone in the middle of a public event that comes up and like criticizes you or is being negative, and it's like, you might feel really angry inside, but you probably should still be kind, right?
Yeah.
So we've probably all been there. But I talked about two like unrighteous motivations, like that you're kind because of personal need. So it's like, I need you to be happy or else I'm unhappy. Mm-hmm. And the other one being, I'm kind fishing for appreciation or reward or recognition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where do you see that kind of stuff happening? Riley, you're a social media guru. Like, a lot of people, like, social media is fishing, right? Like, do you see that happening on there a lot?
Oh, yeah. Like, now it just came to mind. But, like, yeah, you'll see a lot of teens, they'll post things of, you know, kind of putting themselves down almost.
Right.
On their posts because they really want people to be kind back. They need that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like people do fish for that kind of thing. Or if they're commenting on someone else's photo, that's huge. Is, you know, even if you're not friends, you're like, oh, that's so pretty. Like, oh, you look so good. And you're hoping that they're gonna like be like, oh, like you too. And like you kind of expect that response.
Right.
And people who are responding to those give that because they know that you're supposed to like say that back to them.
Right.
Because it's the kind thing to do. But maybe they're not even friends. But it's just like, it's on the social media platform, so you got to show that you're nice to one another and kind.
Right.
And so
definitely
on social media is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. Like I'm really bad with like saying happy birthday to people on social media because it's like every day there's like five people's birthday and I rarely do it. But every year on my birthday, I always feel bad that I don't do it because, you know, I have all these people who say, happy birthday, have a great day. And so maybe for like a month after my birthday, I'm really good at saying happy birthday to other people, right? Because it's like, oh, I'm expected to now. But yeah, you see that like people are asking for reciprocal action, right?
Yeah.
That's why you just don't put your birthday on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to feel bad.
Yeah.
Even businesses, you see that though too. Like, yeah. I think you were mentioning that on Sunday too. Just with businesses, they're always like trying to get you to share something, and they'll tag you in something, and it's all like you can. It kind of looks, it's so fake because right. they want you to share their thing, and they'll share your thing, but it's really not very genuine either. Yeah. And they want, yeah.
Yeah.
That praise.
All yeah. for gain kind of thing.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You share mine, I share yours. We yeah. both.
We both move up.
Yeah. Oh, your work is so good. But really, it's just because they want to promote their product that's in your work or right. whatever, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So businesses aren't like...
completely altruistic.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I actually walked into a business to meet someone I knew who was the manager of the business. And they had this wall in just a public space where, you know, they had displayed like kids that they were sponsoring, like child sponsorships, which is great. And I was like, oh, this is a cool display. He's like, yeah, it's right out in the open. Otherwise, why would we do it? And then he, like, corrected himself. He's like, no, we do it because it's a good thing to do. But, like, obviously it was, again, like, it was a marketing tactic.
Yeah.
In the end, you want people to perceive that you're humanitarian, that you're kind, that you're generous, mm-hmm. because it helps build your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I talked about is, like, the discipline of secrecy is doing things that are kind in a way that no one finds out that it's you. They might benefit from your kindness, but not know that it's you. So mm-hmm. the only person who can actually reward you is God,
because
yeah. he's the only one who truly sees it. So that's an important, like, it's a spiritual discipline, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
Jesus talks about, like, don't pray in front of everybody with fancy words and give your tithes in front of everybody, but do it in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a classic example, okay? You're hanging out with your friend. Actually, no, let's you're meeting a stranger. Let's go this way. You're meeting a stranger for the first time, and you're having a great conversation, and you notice they've got a big old piece of spinach in their teeth. Is it more kind to point it out, or more kind to just let it slide and not embarrass the person in public? What do you think?
I think you should grab some spinach, put it back on your teeth, and both, you know,
there you go.
Bow, and then
yeah.
you're fine.
Perfect.
And
that's
if they
good
say
idea.
It to you, then you say it back.
So only reciprocal.
Yeah, only reciprocal.
Like, if they tell me, then I'll tell
then
them.
Then I'll be kind back, you know,
yeah.
and tell them. It's not as awkward.
Right.
I'm kidding. It's
this actually happened to me once. I was shooting a wedding, and I...
Shooting means you were the
oh,
photographer at the wedding.
I was the photographer.
There
you
go.
Be careful
wow.
these days.
Wow. Yeah, I yes. guess you do. Yeah, no, I was taking pictures at a wedding, and we had just eaten dinner, and I was walking around, and... it would have been at least an hour and a half later. And I'm interacting with a lot of people. And then I went up to the bar to get a Coke. There's no alcohol there. But the bartender looked at me and he's like, I just need to tell you that there's spinach in your teeth. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I was so embarrassed at first.
Yeah.
But actually I was so grateful that this stranger told me, because you don't want everyone else to, like, no one else said anything. And
yeah.
I've clearly seen many other people. So I think... you always tell someone.
Right.
Even if it's embarrassing at first.
See how big it was?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Ooh.
It was not good.
It's a full tooth worth.
It's a full salad in there.
Yeah. And I am a chatter and I smile big. Like, it was bad. I was so embarrassed.
So there's
but I'm
no
glad
way
it didn't
those
go on
other
longer.
People didn't notice.
Oh, no. For sure they noticed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't get any, like, looks? Like, ooh.
No, which is the worst. Because then you look back, you're like, who else did I talk to? You didn't tell me.
Yeah. Well, and that's the idea, is we think we're being kind by, like, letting
ignoring
things slide
it.
Like that. But all we're doing is trying to avoid an awkward situation. Like, we don't want you to be embarrassed, because that would make me feel uncomfortable. And
yeah.
so ultimately my kindness, in quotes, if you're only listening, is actually selfishness,
yeah.
right? And so it leads into the second scenario, like, you know, a friend, someone you know, someone in your church, someone who calls himself a Christian, you see them in sin, you notice a major character flaw that is leading them away from Jesus and actually hurting other people, the proverbial spinach in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you address it or do you ignore it? What is more kind?
I think the leading question
yeah.
is it's more kind
yeah.
to tell them about it.
Yeah.
But I think the key thing there is the relationship. You know
right.
them. I'm not going to, a stranger in the street, I might say, hey, you have spinach in your teeth, but I'm
right.
not going to say, I noticed this glaring area of
yeah.
sin in your life.
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
to change that. But
right.
you've got to have the relationship so they know it comes out of a loving place.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and how you say it and
yeah.
you know, how you approach it, for sure.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and that's the kind of follow-up question is, how do you kindly point out someone's sin, point out someone's character issue? Because there are people, and you can see this in certain kind of judgmental versions of Christianity, where some people think they have the gift of criticism, mm-hmm. where they just go around criticizing and pointing out faults. And it's not kind, no. right? But so how do you kindly address sin in someone else's life? How do you kindly address their character issue? You mentioned relationship as a starting point, which I think is the key. But you mentioned, Jody, that's how you do it. So what is the how?
I mean, definitely taking not publicly, like that can be really hurtful. I think especially if it's something that's a big deal, you need to have a conversation with them privately, and gently, like, and maybe trying to come from an angle of understanding where they're coming from and not just pointing a finger and criticizing more, trying to come alongside them and understand where they're coming from. Especially if you have that relationship, you probably know what they're going through, or maybe you don't, but to be able to, you know, come alongside them.
That's great.
It's like the
Rosaria Butterfield.
Rosaria Butterfield.
Yeah.
It's like her example in the pastor that sent her the email. You know, she had the, like, if you're listening to this and didn't listen to this sermon, she had the fan mail and the hate mail.
Yeah.
And then she got a letter from pastor, and it was right in the, like, she didn't know where to put it.
Right.
Because the pastor addressed her with kindness.
Yeah.
But also raised those concerns. And so, like, in youth work, we always talk about approaching people with grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus came full of grace and truth. Yeah. We've talked about it here on a Sunday morning as well. But, you know, first we should come in grace, you know, and that kindness of, you know, we love the person. We all have faults. And so, like, you come with grace, you love them, you're kind to them.
Mm-hmm.
But also that you want to, the kindness also extends in that truth, is that you want to be truthful to them.
Yeah.
You don't want them to continue in their sin. You don't want them to, you don't want to lead them, like, let them go on their own if they're trying to grasp for truth. And you're just like, oh, like, I don't want things to get messy, so I'm just going to leave you do that. You're actually hurting them more. You're pretty much being mean to them by not helping them along. And, hey, this is the truth as well.
Right.
Like, I love you, this kindness. This is the hard truth, but this is me being kind to you. You know, I'd rather, you know, be a little harsh, but help direct you again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's, yeah.
Well, and then there's Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, he says, you know, don't go trying to take the speck out of someone's eye when you've got a log in your own eye, right? Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say, therefore, don't address people's issues. He says, get rid of the log. Then you can clearly see to remove the speck, right?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of it starts with a self-examination. It's like, okay, I see this person's sin, but am I actually looking at my own? Mm-hmm. Like, can I go to this person and them respect me enough to, even though it might at first kind of hurt them a little bit, them respect me enough to receive that criticism well, so that we can mutually work together to get there, right? So a lot of times it's like, oh, that person's sinning, but, like, okay, let's deal with my sin. Let's focus on that. And I think that's sometimes why people will never correct others, because they know that they've got their own issues but are unwilling to work on themselves first. And so I think sometimes if we're in that situation, we need to then actually go to other people and say, hey, do you see this sin in my life? And can you actually help me identify it and deal with it and show kindness to me by being honest with me?
Well, but that takes that step of having people that you're walking with, that you trust, that you love enough to be like, hey, let's hold each other accountable.
Right.
Yeah. And actually that was during Kirsten and I's, like, pre-marriage counseling. The pastor actually said, it's so important for your marriage to have close friends that will hold you guys accountable.
Yeah.
Cause he said shortly after he was married, he had two guy friends that came up to him and said, you're being a jerk to your wife. Like, we don't know why she's putting up with this, but this isn't okay. You need to change this. And he said it really hurt. He was upset. He was angry. But he's like, you guys are right. And so because of that, he was able to show more love to his wife and be kind. And so I think it's so important. But you have to invite that, because it's so hard for someone else, especially Canadians. We hate conflict.
Yeah.
We want to be nice all the time. But if we actually invite other people to be like, hey, like, hold me to a good standard, and then do it for each other, so it's not just, like, one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an older member in our church, I think one of the longest-term members in our church, Erwin Hobden, and he used to lead some community stuff in town, and, you know, he was in a position that where he would receive criticism for stuff, and he would always stop people if they came up and they started to make a critical comment. He would say, oh, wait a second. I want you to say three things that were positive about this before you give your negative comment. And he was always he always welcomed criticism, but he forced people to also be positive. Mm-hmm. And if you get to know Erwin, he's one of the most positive people you will ever meet. Especially he's got a lot of personal challenges. He's legally blind, like lots of stuff that he's challenged with. But I've always remembered when he talked to me about that. And so I think that's also a great start is like, hey, I love this about you. I love this about you. I love this about you. Hey, can we talk about this other thing? Mm-hmm. Or the classic, criticism sandwich, positive thing, critical mark, finish it with a positive thing, goes down easier, right? One more question here. Romans 2:4 talks about God's kindness with us, and the purpose of God's kindness is to lead us to repentance. Now, the context around Romans 1 talks about God's wrath. Like, all of humanity is in sin, we have no excuse, we've been in sin, we deserve his wrath, it even says we deserve death. Then Romans 2 talks about his patience and his kindness, which leads us to repentance. Talk about that. What does that mean, that God's kindness leads us to repentance?
I always come back to kids just because that's what it is. And like you even talked about discipline with kids. Like, it's not loving not to discipline your kids, which I totally agree.
Right.
But like, you can't discipline a kid who doesn't know that they're loved.
Mm.
So like, discipline is just anger and just pain if it's not done in love.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I think that's the God's kindness to us, so that we know that he loves us and then we accept his discipline.
Right.
God's not just this angry, wrathful God with nothing. He's angry at times and has wrath because his, not just that his children made mistakes, but they're actually hurting themselves and others.
Right.
And so his anger, his disappointments out of love. And so I think that's the whole kindness thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the friends, like Proverbs says, the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of a stranger.
Mm.
It's like God is so
I don't want
much
a stranger
over.
To kiss me anyways, but...
I don't either, but...
But we get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially right now. Maybe in the past, but... We could go the handshake of a stranger.
Right.
We can do that, or air high five. But so I think that's where it comes from. It's just he loves us so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So as we conclude, let's reiterate the final thought from this Sunday. Like, kindness is not just an outward action, but it's also an internal attitude that leads to righteous outward actions, where we truly care about the people that we're interacting with. Paul really reflected on it. His application was in our speech. And then we talked about the fact that when we are interacting with other people, we're either participating with the Holy Spirit as he is working toward the day of redemption in people's lives, preparing them for eternal life, or we're working against the Holy Spirit and grieving him by moving people in the opposite direction. And so that's really the final challenge when it comes to our kindness, that we are working with the Spirit, that we leave a situation and a person having been built up and closer to Jesus, closer to heaven than when we were there before, rather than the opposite, which is scary to actually participate against the work of the Holy Spirit. What a horrible idea that is. But anyways, thank you guys so much for joining me today. And we'll see you next week again for another roundtable discussion, and God bless you.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's roundtable discussion. Make sure to leave us a comment or a review or a rating. Let us know, and we'd love to keep in touch with you through the week at betheltab.ca.